Thank you, Jim. It may also mean more to you tonight if you have a Book of Mormon with you so that you can follow along. And so I wonder, maybe Daniel, maybe I could get you and Don. There are books up here, I think, and to hand them out to anybody that needs one. This won't be in Spanish, so we can't use those. Anybody needs a Book of Mormon, raise your hand so that... I have one of the old 1908s, and which I'm using as opposed to our authorized 1990. The pages will still be the same, but I'm going to start out in the very front with the testimony of the eight witnesses. And I don't know what page that is in your book. In mine, it's a little... the little Roman numeral for five, is the same page? Okay. I didn't know if it would be or not. Be it known unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people unto whom this work shall come, that Joseph Smith, Jr., the translator of this work, has shown unto us the plates which have been spoken, which have the appearance of gold, and as many of the leaves as the said Joseph, as many of the leaves as the said Smith has translated, we did handle with our hands. I want to stress that one phrase in there which says, which have the appearance of gold. Okay, now we're going to go to page 3, 1 Nephi, and I'm going to start with verse 15. I have a lot of scriptures, and a lot of this will just be reading and following along, and then I'll make notes up here of what we discover as we read. Starting with verse 15 on page 3, 1 Nephi. And now I, Nephi, do make a full account of the things which my father hath written. For he hath written many things which he saw in visions and in dreams. And he also hath written many things which he prophesied and spake unto his children, in which I shall not make a full account. But I shall make an account of my proceedings in my days. Behold, I make an abridgment, that's a key word, of the record of my father. Upon the plates, that's a key word, which I have made with mine own hands. Wherefore, after I have abridged the record of my father, then will I make an account of mine own life. And so, right off the bat here, in the very front of the Book of Mormon, we learn two key things. We don't know how Lehi wrote this record. And with this information that we have right here, we don't know if those were plates or parchments or what they were. But we do know that the abridgment and then the subsequent record by Nephi will be made on plates, which are to be made by Nephi. Now let's move over to verse 60. Verse 60 is on page 7 in my book. And it came to pass that he spake unto me, saying, Lehi is speaking to Nephi. Behold, I have dreamed a dream in which the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brethren shall return to Jerusalem. For behold, Laban hath the record of the Jews, and also a genealogy of thy forefathers, and they are engraven upon plates of brass. Now, I'm not going to go into the story of how they returned to Jerusalem and how Nephi slew Laban and got the plates, but I do want to make note of the fact that entering into our story now is another set of plates. And so we've only encompassed 7 pages so far, and we already have 3 records, 2 of them upon plates. The plates of brass telling the story of the ancestors of Lehi and the story of their bringing up in Jerusalem, and then the story of Nephi, which will be recorded on his plates as they go along. Let's move up to 1 Nephi chapter 3. And one of the things we're going to see as we read this is not just the mundane statistics of how many plates we're going to discover or who did what or where they put them, but what they said on them. That's as important also. This is on page 35. It's Nephi's vision. And they're talking here about Nephi seeing the Bible. And he's talking to the personage that is speaking to him. And he said unto me, "The book that thou beholdest is a record of the Jews, which contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel." And it, 161. 161 on page 35. And he said unto me, "The book that thou beholdest is a record of the Jews, which contained the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record like," key word, "unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel." Now, this is a little side trip here from the story of the plates, but it is kind of interesting and kind of important to us because he's comparing the Bible, which we're going to have today, with the plates of brass, and that this will be a record of what went on, but not so much as what's on that plates of brass. So those plates of brass must be some record. I was impressed with that. I hadn't realized that when I read this. "Save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel." And of course, we know that the Bible didn't come from plates to us. What it was recorded on originally, we don't really know. We assume it was papyrus, some sort of filmy material, cloth, something of that nature that could be rolled, because it was rolled and they referred to it as sticks in those days, but they didn't use the term plates yet. We have the more than the record of the Bible is contained on the plates of brass. We're going to go back now to the 2nd chapter of 1 Nephi, to the very first verse. it's needful that we regress here just a moment. And starting on page 16, it's chapter 2 of 1 Nephi. And now I, Nephi, do not give the genealogy of my fathers in this part of my record. Neither at any time shall I give it after upon these plates, which I am writing, for it is given in the record which has been kept by my father, which I do not write it in this work. And he's talking about Lehi's record. For it sufficeth me to say that we are descendants of Joseph. And the important point here is that this is Joseph's land, and he's identifying here his lineage, and he's doing that from Lehi's record and knowledge of the plates of brass, that they are descendants of Joseph. And of course, we know that's very important to the story of the Book of Mormon. Staying here in 1 Nephi, in the second chapter, we're going to move forward to verse 93. And now, as I have spoken concerning these plates, and we're on page 23, verse 93. And now, as I have spoken concerning these plates, behold, they are not the plates upon which I make a full account of the history of my people. For the plates upon which I make a full account of my people, I have given the name of Nephi. Wherefore, they are called the plates of Nephi, after mine own name, and these plates are also are called the plates of Nephi. Nevertheless, I have received a commandment of the Lord that I should make these plates for the special purpose that there should be an account engraven of the ministry of my people. Upon the other plates, keywords, other plates, should be engraven an account of the reign of the kings and the wars and the contentions of my people. Wherefore, these plates, meaning the ones that aren't other, are for the most part of the ministry, and the other plates are for the more part of the reign of the kings and the wars and the contentions of my people. So now we have a little split, a little deviation here. We now have two sets of plates, both made by Nephi. And it gets even more interesting. Let's go to the fifth chapter. Of 1 Nephi, and verse 258. It's on page 66. Yea, and I'm going to start with verse 255 on page 66. Yea, and all the people who are of the house of Israel will I gather in, saith the Lord, according to the words and of the prophet Zenos, from the four quarters of the earth. This is a cross-reference that I'd like to use here just to show you not so much the plates per se and what's going on with them, but their content and what they mean. Yea, and all the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord, saith the prophet. Every nation, kindred, tongue, and people shall be blessed. And I, Nephi, have written these things unto my people, that perhaps I might persuade them that they would remember the Lord their Redeemer. Wherefore I speak unto all the house of Israel, if it so be that they should obtain these things. For behold, I have workings in the spirit, which doth weary me, even that my joints are weak, for those who are at Jerusalem. For had not the Lord been merciful to show unto me concerning them, even as I had prophets of old, I should have perished also. And he surely did show unto the prophets of old all things concerning them. Also he did show unto many concerning us. Wherefore it must needs be that we know concerning them, for they are written upon the plates of brass. And this is the same as the record we read there in 1 Nephi 3 a little bit ago. So one of the purposes here that God had was that the people who had the record in Old Jerusalem will at some time obtain the plates of Nephi. And it was important in them coming to the new land and a wilderness that they knew who they came from, especially years down the line when the great, 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 great grandchildren didn't know it firsthand and had just the story of Grandpa, that they have something written down or have the plates of brass to prove where they came from. And you all know from reading the Book of Mormon that even then they had problems. They talked about the traditions of their fathers, which were false. And they got into wars over just this stuff that was recorded and whether it was true or not. Let's go to 2 Nephi, 4th chapter. And it's going to be on page 95. No, it isn't either. Page 91. We want page 91 of the... I was right the first time, page 95. It's the fourth chapter of the second book of Nephi, and we're going to start with verse 17. And I, Nephi, also brought the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass. That was right over there. And also the ball or compass. And later on in the record, we discover it's called by another word, which was prepared for my father by the hand of the Lord, according to that which is written. And it came to pass that we began to prosper exceedingly and to multiply in the land. And I, Nephi, did take the sword of Laban, and after the manner of it did make many swords, lest by any means the people who are now called Lamanites should come upon us and destroy us. I read this just to show you that it was not only a record that they received from Laban, the plates of brass, but they also received the ball or the compass and the sword of Laban. This will come in a little later in our story. If we will go to page 166, we jump way ahead now. To Jacob, the first chapter, and we're going to read the first four or five verses. This is Jacob, the brother of Nephi. For behold, it came to pass that 55 years had passed from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem, wherefore Nephi gave me, Jacob, a commandment concerning these small plates, upon which these things are engraven. Here's a new terminology we haven't run into before. He calls them the small plates. And he gave me, Jacob, a commandment that I should write upon these plates a few things which I consider to be most precious, that I should not touch, save it were lightly, concerning the history of this people, which are called the people of Nephi. For he said that the history of the people should be engraven upon his other plates, keywords, and that I should preserve these plates and hand them down unto my seed from generation to generation. Verse 4, if there were preaching which was sacred, or revelation which was great, or prophesying, that I should engrave the heads of them upon these plates and I take that to be the small plates, and touch upon them as much as it were possible for Christ's sake and for the sake of the people. So to go back to something Nephi said, we now have a little more information about these plates. Plates number two are called the other plates. Apparently they are larger physically than the first plates. Upon them will be the history and the wars and the kings and so forth. On the first plates, which apparently are small plates physically, is the story of sacred things, particularly pertaining to the ministry. So we have a deviation here of intent. Okay. Let's go to page 174. This is Jacob's second chapter. We're going to read verses 66 to the end on page 174. And now I, Jacob, spake many things, many more things, unto the people of Nephi, warning them against fornication and lasciviousness and every kind of sin, telling them the awful consequences of them, and 1/100th part of the proceedings of this people, which now began to be numerous, cannot be written upon these plates. Now, we don't really know when he says these plates just exactly which ones, but let's go on. But many of their proceedings are written upon the larger plates. So the story, and that would fit with Nephi's intent of history being on the larger of the two sets, will be on the other plates. And here he refers to them as the larger plates. So we have some synonyms. And their wars and their contentions and the reigns of their kings. These plates are called the plates of Jacob. Ah, confusion comes in here. These plates are called the plates of Jacob, and they were made by the hand of Nephi. And I make an end of speaking these words. So at this time, I suppose, if we were to give a quiz and say, list how many plates there were made up to this point in history, we'd say, well, Nephi's small plates and Nephi's other plates, which later became the plates of Jacob, and they had the plates of brass, plus a record of Lehi, and we don't know what that was written on, except that the abridgment of it should appear in those sets, depending on whether it pertained to the ministry or whether it pertained to history, wars, and so forth. And we're just on page 175. Let's move up to page 193, just a short one verse 42. In my book, it's on the top of page 193. This is fifth chapter of Jacob, verse 42. And it came to pass that I, Jacob, began to be old, and the record of this people being kept on the other plates of Nephi. Wherefore, I conclude this record, declaring that I have written according to the best of my knowledge, by saying that the time passed away with us, and also our lives passed away, and it goes on down to verse 45, where he said, and I, Jacob, saw that I must soon go down to my grave, wherefore I said unto my son Enos, take these plates, and notice that's plural, and he doesn't identify what plates. But he says, to Enos, his son, and he got these from Nephi, take these plates. And I told him the things which my brother Nephi had commanded, and he promised obedience unto the commandments. And I made an end of my writing upon these plates, which writing has been small. And to the reader I bid farewell, hoping that many of my brethren read my words. It is my thought at this point, and I can't prove it, that when he says these plates, that he gave Enos small plates, other plates, and the plates of brass. Let's move now to page 199. And on page 199, we're going to read verses 30 through 32. And I, Jerome, verse 30 on 199. And I, Jerome, do not write more, for the plates are small. But behold, my brethren, you can go to the other plates. This would indicate the two sets of Nephi. For behold, upon them the record of our wars are engraven according to the writings of the kings, or those which they caused to be written. And I deliver these plates into the hands of my son Omni. And again, he uses the plural, these plates. And they may be kept according to the commandments of my father. Now from here on, it begins to be very interesting. Because if you'll notice the year here at the bottom of the page, and I assume in your Book of Mormon you have the years, on the bottom of page 197, which starts the book of Jerem, it says 420 B.C. And so at the book of Omni on the bottom of that page on 199, it says 420 to 279. And we're going to see a big spread of years in these next few verses. At the point in time that Jacob took the plates and for whatever reason called the other plates in his name at that moment, around 500 BC, a lot is going to happen here through the next intervening 350 years without much record. I'll show you what I mean. Let's take just the first verse of Omni there on page 199. Behold, it came to pass that I, Omni, being commanded by my father Jerem, that I should write somewhat upon these plates to preserve our genealogy. Again, he uses the term these. If you move down to verse 10, and it came to pass that I did deliver the plates unto my brother Shemesh. So he must not have written very much. And at that point, he handed off the plates to his brother, not his son. Most of these are father to son type of thing. And then if you move down to verse 13, behold, I, Abinadab, am the son of Shemesh. And he gets the plates. Two verses there, 11 and 12, and it never really tells us, except that he says in 12, we keep the records.
What page is it on?
200.
201.
Okay, okay. Yeah, you've got the authorized? Okay. I'm going to have to break down one of these days and transfer all my notes to the new one so I can be on the same page. But as you can see, that's going to be a job. I've really got my book marked up. Anyway, from Omni, we go to Amaron, to his brother Chamish, to the son Abinadab, to the son Amalekai. And Amalekai is a kind of an interesting fellow because he was born and lived in the time of Mosiah. But Mosiah didn't get the plates directly, Amalekai had them. I found that interesting. But let's go to I think maybe it's on 201 here. Yeah, Omni 1 through 1. And let's start with verse 18. Okay. Well, mine's on 200. Yours may be on 201. It's verse 18 of chapter 1 of Omni. And it says, "Behold, I am Amalekai, the son of Abinadab. Behold, I will speak unto you somewhat concerning Mosiah, who was made king over the land of Zarahemla." Now, he may have been made king, but Amalekai had the plates. "For behold, he being warned of the Lord that he should flee out of the land of Nephi," and then it goes on and tells about the coming to the land of Zarahemla. Let's move down to verse 25. "Now there was great rejoicing among the people of Zarahemla, and also Zarahemla did rejoice exceedingly, because the Lord had sent the people of Mosiah with the plates of brass, which contained the record of the Jews." It's interesting at this point to point out that when they find this people, it's really more important that they have the plates of brass than that they have Nephi's plates, because they want to be able to tell the people of Zarahemla where they came from, and that they're all related, they are all Jews, they are all from Jerusalem. That is real important. "Behold, it came to pass that Mosiah discovered that the people of Zarahemla came out of Jerusalem at the time of Zedekiah, king of Judah, was carried away captive into Babylon. And they journeyed in the wilderness, and were brought by the hand of the Lord across the great waters into the land with Mosiah, discovered them, and they did dwell there from that time forth. And at the time of Mosiah discovered them, they had become exceeding numerous. Nevertheless, they had had many wars and serious contentions, and had fallen by the sword from time to time." This is important. "And their language had been corrupted, and they had brought no records with them." So it was real important that somebody be able to tell them who they were and where they were from, and that they were all related. And now at this point, we get into the two trips to this land, and that's a whole other story, as you know, that the one son from Zedekiah, who was not killed when they were taken off to Babylon in captivity, Mulek, and they came to this land, and it says, "and they had no records." That's why those plates of brass were so important, almost more so than the plates of Nephi. Let's flip the page, 202. Or at least in my book. It's Omni, chapter 1, and it's verse 32. "But it came to pass that Mosiah caused that they should be taught in his language." That's the people of Zarahemla. "And it came to pass that after they were taught in the language of Mosiah, Zarahemla gave a genealogy of his fathers according to his memory. And they are written, but not on these plates." Now, when he says not on these plates, I don't think they would write on the plates of brass, but I can't prove that. But probably, if it's a genealogy, it would only fit on the history plate, not the small ministry plates. But yet he says, it's written, but not on these plates. So we now have another record. I'm just going to call it the Zarahemla record. And we don't know what it is, but there is another record. "And it came to pass in the days of Mosiah, there was a large stone brought unto him with the engravings on it, and he did interpret the engravings. and by the gift and power of God. And they gave an account of one Coriantumr and the slain of his people. Coriantumr was discovered by the people of Zarahemla, and he dwelt with them for the space of 9 moons. It also spake a few words concerning his fathers. And his first parents came out from the tower at the time the Lord confounded the language of the people, and the severity of the Lord fell upon them according to his judgments, which are just, and their bones lay scattered in the land northward. So it comes to light that the people there in Zarahemla had a record. It wasn't their record. It was the record they found in the wilderness. And I put ether under that because it's their record. And it's on a stone. So, at this point, at page 202 in the Book of Mormon, there exists somewhere Lehi's record, Nephi's small plates, Nephi's other plates, the plates of brass, a Zarahemla record, and the stone record. This is going to get kind of complicated in a little bit. Unless you think it is now. Okay, we're going to keep right on reading here in Omni. Let's start with verse 40. On page, it's on, in my book it's 202, but chapter 1 of Omni. Verse 40, behold, I, Amalickiah, was born in the days of Mosiah, and I lived to see his death. And Benjamin his son reigned in his stead. And behold, I have seen in the days of King Benjamin a serious war and much bloodshed between the Nephites and the Lamanites. And behold, the Nephites did obtain much advantage over them, yea, insomuch that King Benjamin did drive them out of the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass that I began to be old and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before the Lord, wherefore I should deliver up these plates unto him, exhorting all men to come under God, the Holy One of Israel, and believing in the prophesyings and in revelations and in the ministering of angels and in the gift of the speaking of tongues and the gift of interpreting languages and in all things which are good. So it's kind of interesting that also King Mosiah had the ability to be able to interpret these other records brought to him. He didn't have the plates, unless maybe Amalickiah showed them to him or they shared them. It doesn't say that. And then here in the end, as Amalickiah is nearing death and he's going to give these plates up, he gives them to Benjamin, King Benjamin, Mosiah's son. So that at this point, I guess with Mosiah, we had a sort of a division of church and state, if you consider who has the plates and is responsible for the records and stuff, and who is the king. But now with King Benjamin, that's going to come back together, because he's going to have the plates and all of the things that that Mosiah had. Let's move down to the bottom of page 203. Verses 52 to 54. And I, Amalickiah, had a brother who also went with them. He's talking about people who went off into the wilderness and never returned. And I have not since known concerning them. So here's another group of people, who knows, who may have had a record. And I am about to lie down in my grave, and these plates are full. and I make an end of my speaking. And this is approximately 150 BC. So that we see that in these three little books in the Book of Mormon, the book of Jerome and Omni, probably goes back even into Enos, Jerome and Omni especially though, we have roughly 350 years. And we really don't have much story as to what went on the plates. And yet Amalekai says here at the end, the plates are full. Now we don't know how many there were, and we don't know their size, except that some were small and some were large. So the first of the Book of Mormon, Nephi 1 and 2, had more pages and didn't cover as much time span. This last time span was squished into just a few pages. It's kind of interesting how a record is put together, or I found it to be interesting. And speaking of pages, I'll have to turn the page. Oh boy. Okay. Let's go to the Words of Mormon. And it's on page 204 in my book. This was a chapter or a book of chapters that I didn't know much about, because there is the Book of Mormon in the back of the Book of Mormon. But these are the Words of Mormon. And what's really interesting is, after you get to reading it, you discover this is a flashback. When we just left page 203, we were at the year 150 BC. The Words of Mormon were written in 385 AD. And now he's going to look back and bring the record up to date and tell you what happened. I find that kind of interesting. Then you discover that there's Mormon and there's also the Sun Mormon, and you got to decide which one you're reading. But let's just jump right in here at the first. The Words of Mormon, chapter 1, page 204. And now I, Mormon, verse 1, being about to deliver up the record which I have been making into the hands of my son, Moroni. And so you know right there, if he's given it to Moroni, these are in the last of their days, and that verifies the date, 385 AD, which is at the bottom of the page in my book. That's where I got it. And I have been making these into the hands of my son Moroni. Behold, I have witnessed almost all the destruction of my people, the Nephites. And it is many hundred years after the coming of Christ, and I deliver these records into the hands of my son, and it supposeth me that he will witness the entire destruction of my people. But may God grant that he may survive them, that he may write somewhat concerning them and somewhat concerning Christ, that perhaps someday it may profit them. And now I speak somewhat concerning that which I have written. For after I have made an abridgment from the plates of Nephi down to the reign of King Benjamin, that's at the end of Book of Omni, of whom Amalekai spake. So here's Mormon, who has taken the plates of Nephi, and he says, plates. So I assume it's both. And he has abridged them. So at this point, we have an abridgment of Nephi's plates. We are assuming the plates of brass are intact. We don't know about Zarahemla record or the stone record or Lehi's record. Nobody has mentioned it now in 500 years. Let's move on down to verse 8 and 9. Wherefore, I choose these things to finish my record upon them, which remainder of my record I will take from the place of Nephi, and I cannot write the hundredth part of the things of my people. But behold, I shall take these plates, which contain these prophesyings and revelations, and put them with the remaining of my record, for they are choice unto me, and know they will be choice unto my brethren. And this is Mormon speaking. If we move down to verses 13 through 17, and now I, Mormon, proceed to finish out my record, which I take from the plates of Nephi, and make it according to the knowledge of the understanding which God has given me. Wherefore, it came to pass that after Amalickiah had delivered up these records into the hands of King Benjamin, this is back before Christ, he took them and put them with the other plates, which contain records which had been handed down by the kings from generation to generation until the days of King Benjamin. Let's see, how far should we read? And they were handed down from King Benjamin from generation to generation until they had fallen into my hands. And I, Mormon, pray to God that they may be preserved from this time henceforth. And I know that they will be preserved, for there are great things written upon them, out of which my people and their brethren shall be judged at the great and last day, according to the word of God which is written. And you know, that's an important verse. Because he's saying that from this record, along with the record that we read about in the Bible at the day of judgment, that the people are going to be judged with the things that are written. And why? That's because that is their condemnation or their salvation. It's the record of what they did. And when presented to them at that great and last day, they're not going to be able to deny it, because it is recorded. That's an interesting verse. And then he says, and now, concerning this King Benjamin, he had somewhat contentions among his people. Now he's going on with the story. King Benjamin being before Christ, this is Mormon at 385 AD after Christ telling the story. Let's look at, we're going to jump ahead to page 232. I think it's the book of Mosiah, and it's chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 62 and 68. In my book, that's page 232, fifth chapter of Mosiah, verses 62 to 68. Let me see here. This is the land where Ammon was. They are traveling in the wilderness, and it says there at 62, and having discovered a land which was covered with bones of men and beasts, and also covered with ruins of buildings of every kind, having discovered a land which had been peopled with a people who were as numerous as the host of Israel, and for a testimony that these things that they have said are true, they have brought 24 gold plates, which are filled with the, have brought 24 plates, which are filled with engravings, and they are of pure gold. This is the finding of the 24 gold plates. And if we drop down to 72 to 75, 232 in my book, fifth chapter of Mosiah. Now Ammon said unto him, I can assuredly tell thee, O king, a man that can translate the records. He knows somebody that can translate the 24 gold plates. For he has wherewith he can look and translate all records that are ancient date. And it is a gift from God. And the things are called interpreters, and no man can look in them except he be commanded, lest he should, for that he ought not, and he should perish. And whosoever is commanded to look in them, he is the same is called seer. And behold, the king of the people who is in the land of Zarahemla is the man that is commanded to do these things and also has this high gift from God. And the king said that a seer is greater than a prophet. And so you see, at this point, we learn about one other accessory to the plates, and that is these interpreters. Now, we've already known that with the plates of brass were the sword of Laban and the ball, or the compass. But now we have the 24 plates, and he enters the picture something called the interpreters. I haven't found anywhere in these recent readings here in this book of Mosiah or the one preceding where it says where these interpreters came from, unless they were with the 24 plates of gold. I'm supposed to be giving you information, see, and I'm just giving you more questions to ask. Now we're going to jump all the way to Alma, the 17th chapter. And of course, your first question probably should be, well, isn't there something in between that says something about plates? Nope. That's why we're going to the 17th chapter of Alma. It's on page 440, and I'm going to read, Okay, 17th chapter of Alma, page 437, verse 31. Now, my son Helaman, I command you that you take the records, and this is 73 BC. This is just a few short years before Christ. I command you that you take the records which have been entrusted with me. And I also command you that you keep a record of this people according as I have done upon the plates of Nephi, and keep all these things sacred which I have kept, even as I have kept them, for it is for a wise purpose that they are kept. And these plates of brass which contain these engravings, which have the records of the Holy Scriptures upon them, which have the genealogy of our forefathers, even from the beginning. Let's see. And then let's move ahead to verse 52 and 53, more of the instruction. This is on page 439 in my book, verse 52. And now I speak concerning those 24 plates that you keep them, that the mysteries and works of darkness and the secret works or the secret works of those people who have been destroyed may be manifest unto this people, yea, and all their murderers and robbings and their plunderings and all their wickedness and abominations may be made manifest unto this people, yea, and that you preserve these directors. And the director is another word for the ball. So we see at this point that Helaman gets the record from Alma and that he has the 24 gold plates, the plates of brass, also the plates of Nephi. We were already told that the plates of Nephi were full. That's why Mormon did an abridgment later on. Well, if we look back to this time, surely they were full at the point that Alma and Helaman had them, which meant they'd have had to have made some more plates and just added them to Nephi's stack. and they called them Nephi's plates. But we already read in Omni there at the end of the chapter where it said the plates were full. Gives you kind of an interesting mystery here to sleuth through. We're going to run over just a little bit, Jim, but I think I can finish. Okay? All right. Let's look now and at third, third Nephi, first chapter. Alma, as you know, is a big book, and then we have the book of Helaman, and then we get into third Nephi. Again, you're going to ask me, well, isn't there something about the plates in there in between? Nope. That's why we're going to 3 Nephi. First chapter, first verse. And now it came to pass, and in my book it's 600. Now it came to pass that the 90 and first year had passed away, and it was 600 years from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem, and it was in the year that Lechonius was the chief judge and the governor over the land. And Nephi, the son of Helaman, had departed out of the land of Zarahemla, giving charge unto his son Nephi, who was his eldest son, concerning the plates of brass and all the records which had been kept, and all those things which had been kept sacred from the departure of Lehi out of Jerusalem. And he departed out of the land, and whither he went no man knoweth. And his son Nephi did keep the record in his stead, yea, the record of his people. So this Nephi here in 3 Nephi is the son of Helaman, a descendant of Lehi. Now, we want to move into chapter 2 of 3 Nephi, verse 94. It's on page 615. Verse 94 says, therefore I have made my record of these things according to the record of Nephi, which was engraven on the plates, which were called the plates of Nephi. And behold, I do make this record on plates which I have made with mine own hands. And so he makes reference here to the fact that he had to make some of his own plates. And of course, his name happens to be Nephi, so they're still plates of Nephi. But I suspect that happened back here in Omni, although they don't say they made them with their hands. And behold, I am called Mormon, being called after the land of Mormon, the land in which Alma did establish a church among his people, yea, the first church which was established among them after their transgressions. Behold, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I have been called of him to declare his word among his people, that they might have everlasting life. And this is, I think he is the son of Nephi, but his name is Mormon, and is called of God here. Now let's move on, and this is kind of fast, but let's go to the Book of Mormon, chapter 1. Page 687. I'm going to read the first six verses. Now I, Mormon, make a record of those things which I have both seen and heard, and call it the Book of Mormon. There's where the name comes from. Throughout the book, there are references that these are records of Nephi or records of Jacob or the story of Zarahemla, and that they're recorded on these various plates. But the final abridgment was made by Mormon, and he says it's called the Book of Mormon. And about the time, and that's why we have it today called by that name, and that's the only reason that I know of. Is Glenn here? Yeah. If you know of something from digging into this, the Board of Publications, that there's some other reason why we call it the Book of Mormon, please let me know. But I think that's the reason right there. And about the time that M. Moron hid up the records under the Lord, he came unto me, I being about 10 years of age, and began to be learned somewhat after the manner of the learning of my people. And M. Moron said unto me, I perceive that thou art a sober child and art quick to observe. Therefore, when you are about 20 and 4 years old, I would that you should remember the things that you have observed concerning this people. And when you are that age, go to the land of Antum unto a hill, which shall be called Shem. And there I have deposited under the Lord all the sacred engravings concerning this people. It is my assumption, then, that when he says all of the engravings, he means that whole works is in the hill Shem, wherever that is. And behold, you shall take the plates of Nephi unto yourself, and the remainder shall you leave in the place where they are. And you shall engrave upon the plates of Nephi all the things that you have observed concerning this people. Well, when he says the plates of Nephi, I think he means the Nephi from 3rd Nephi. I don't think he means the Nephi from the beginning of the book, because Omni said the plates were full. But they are the records that contain the abridgment from the beginning. And so he's to have a few of those to keep with him. The rest gets buried in Hill Shem. Let's go to the second chapter of Mormon. Verse 25. In my book, it's on the bottom of page 697. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not on 698 in yours. But is it in 697, Bonnie?
It starts.
Okay, and now, verse 25, it's the second chapter of Mormon. And now I, Mormon, seeing that the Lamanites were about to overthrow the land, and this is that land, Antum, wherever that was, therefore I did go to the hill Shem and did take up all the records which Ammoron had hid up unto the Lord. And it came to pass that I did go forth among the Nephites and did repent of the oath which I had made that I would no more assist them. And it goes on with his story. But at that point, he has all these records. But for a moment, they were in this hill Shem. I think it's Mormon. Mormon, verse 25, and now I am Mormon. And I think that's Mormon, the son of Mormon. It's not the first one. And so the records were in Hill Shem, except for a few which he had. And now we're going to go to the third chapter. And we're going to start with verse 6. This is on page 701. And it came to pass, and when 384 years had passed away, we had gathered in all the remainder of our people under the land Cumorah. And he has all these records with him, which he got out of the hill Shem. And it came to pass that when he had gathered in all our people to the land of Cumorah, behold, I, Mormon, began to be old, and knowing it to be the last struggle of my people, and having commanded of the Lord that I should not suffer that the records which had been handed down by our fathers, which were sacred, to fall into the hands of the Lamanites, therefore I made this record out of the plates of Nephi and hid up in the hill Cumorah. and all records which had been entrusted to me by the hand of God, save it were a few plates which I gave unto my son, Moroni. Time to turn another page. We're just about there. Mormon chapter 4. On page 706, Book of Mormon, chapter 4, I'm going to start with verse 15 and read for two or three verses. Behold, I am Moroni, and were it possible, I would make all things known unto you. Behold, I make an end of speaking concerning this people. I am the son of Mormon, and my father was a descendant of Nephi, and I am the same who hideth up this record unto the Lord. And the plates thereof are of no worth because of the commandment of the Lord. And now you might think, what do you mean they're of no worth? Wait a minute, he's going to explain it. For he truly saith that no one shall have them to get gain. He's talking about money-wise. But the record thereof is of great worth, and whoso shall bring it to light, him will the Lord bless. For no one can have power to bring it to light save it be given of the God. For God will that it shall be done with an eye single to his glory or the welfare of the ancient and long dispersed covenant people of the Lord. And I think that's important to remember. There are men in this world, of course, who would like to get a hold of the records from a money standpoint. But that's only because they're misguided in their thoughts. And at 99, verse 99, an important verse. And Moroni says, and if our plates had been sufficiently large, we should have written in Hebrew. But the Hebrew hath been altered by us also. And if we could have written in the Hebrew, behold, you would have had no imperfection in our record. But the Lord knoweth the things which we have written, and also that none other people knoweth our language. And because that no other people knoweth our language, therefore he hath prepared means for the interpretation thereof. And that's why when the abridgment came forth of the Book of Mormon, that it had to be done by the interpreters.
Where was that last
word? That was verse 99. 713. And just as a cross-reference, if you want to go to the Book of Ether, to the first chapter, one little bit of information. This is page 714, I guess, yeah. Book of Ether, chapter 1. I want to read the first two verses. And now I, Moroni, proceed to give an account of those ancient inhabitants. Now this is Moroni writing about the people who came out from the Tower of Babel in 2000 BC. This is Moroni writing this at 385 or 390 AD. So you got to be careful when you're reading here what time frame they're referring to. An account of those ancient inhabitants who were destroyed by the hand of the Lord upon the face of this north country. And I take mine account from the 24 plates which were found by the people of Limhi, which is called the Book of Ether. And as I suppose that the first part of this record, which speaks concerning the creation of the world and also of Adam, an account from the time even to the great tower, and whosoever things transpired among the children of men until that time, is had among the Jews. So, the plates of brass and the 25 gold plates, 24 gold plates came with Ether's people, Jared and the brother of Jared. They were found by the people of Limhi. They were had by the people of Zenith, who were later found by the people of Zarahemla, whose records were then translated by Mosiah because he had the interpreters. And they also had the plates of brass. So the plates of brass are the lineage of Joseph and his family and the connection back into the Jewish law and the families, the lineage. And the 24 gold plates are essentially the creation and the prophets, or in other words, our Bible, which is kind of interesting. Wouldn't it be fun to get a hold of the 24 gold plates and compare them with the Bible? Of course, that's what they did with the gold, Dead Sea Scrolls. So then Moroni hides up his last few plates in the hill Cumorah. And as history tells us, that's where Joseph Smith got them. I have here a copy of the original history prepared by the LDS Church in 1922. This history was later called in and destroyed, or they destroyed as many copies as they could get their hands on. But this particular record says, the LDS Church. They published this in 1920, and then they realized there were some things in here they wanted to correct. But to do that, they had to destroy this edition. But there are a few of them still exist today. Joseph Smith speaking. He called me by name, speaking of the personage, and said that he was the messenger that sent from the presence of God to me, that his name was Nephi, that God had a work for me to do, that my name should be had for good and evil among all nations, kindreds, and tongues, or that it should be both good and evil spoken of among all people. He said there was a book deposited written upon gold plates, giving an account of the former inhabitants of this continent and the source from which they sprang. And these are my closing readings. This is a little pamphlet. This is also published currently by the LDS Church. I think I got this at the Price Publishing House. And I don't know, let's see if there's a date on it. 1989, published here in Independence. And it's supposed to be Joseph Smith's own story, as he told it. And just a sentence in here, he's talking about the personage which appeared to him, like I was just reading to you out of that history. And he said there was a book deposited written upon gold plates. So he speaks of gold plates in that story. This is the outline history of the Church of Christ. And if we go to it on page 21. Yeah, I've got the right one. This is, again, Joseph Smith's story. And it says he was speaking to the personage. And the personage says that he has a work to do, that my name should be had for good and evil among all nations, kindreds, and tongue, or that it should be both good and evil spoken of among all people. He said there was a book deposited written upon gold plates, giving an account of the former inhabitants of this continent and the source from whence they sprang. So those three histories And I didn't look up the reference there, seeing where Brother Flint got that reference, but they all fairly well agree that the person each told Joseph Smith that there were gold plates in that box. We know from the record in the front of the Book of Mormon that the witnesses said they had the appearance of gold. Nobody said they were gold plates. It's kind of interesting that somewhere in handling them, somebody didn't chip off a corner or something, have it checked or analyzed, but that didn't ever happen. So we don't really know what the plates were made out of. We know for a fact that there were 24 gold plates, but if those had been the plates that Joseph was given, he'd have had the Bible. So we're pretty sure he had the abridgment of Moroni of the Nephi's plates, whether of the small or the other, or a combination of both, the Book of Mormon does not say. We know that some of the later plates were made by Mormon. There were some made by Jacob, there were some made by Mormon, and there were some made by Moroni by their own hands. We don't know what they made them out of. They don't say in the Book of Mormon. Now, they may have made them out of gold. It would appear that way because the witnesses said they looked like gold. So I guess we would have to conclude that maybe that abridgment was in gold. Were the original records, which were in that box, which Joseph Smith didn't get, or the plates of brass, which he didn't get? And I don't think he ever got the director or the sword of Laban, or if they were in that box. But they're all in Hill Cumorah, because that's where they said they deposited everything. So we have a little bit of a mystery here. And you have to take the facts that we have. That is, if you will give that these are facts. There are some people who don't think these are facts. And then with your faith. Remember the scripture in Matthew when Thomas wanted to see Jesus' hands and he sighed. And he told Thomas, "Blessed are you, because now you believe." When he put his hand in his side, saw his hands. But what did he tell him? He said, "More blessed are those who will come after you that will believe on your words and can't see my side, my hands." He didn't say that, but that was the implication. And so we have that same kind of faith here. Because there is a thread of incontinuity here as to some of the physical things. What they were made out of, how many there were, who made how many, and so forth. If Nephi wrote on plates, and Jacob made some plates, and Mormon made some plates, and Moroni had some plates, I see this big stone box full of plates. And yet Joseph Smith didn't have that many plates. That's fast and furious. And I'm sorry that I kept you this long. I don't like to do that. But I did finish with my information. I used the computer and I discovered that there are 124 references in the Book of Mormon to the word plates. Some of those plates refer to breastplates, armor, plates you eat on. But there are only 118 that are plates like we're talking about here. I then looked up the references for the word write, and there are about 90 writing records. I also looked up the references for the word record, and there are about 120 of those, and cross-referenced records with plates, because you won't find this if you look for just plates, or you won't find the Zarahemla record. It's mentioned only in passing with the story of the plates. Computers are wonderful things. I'd hate to have to look all those up using only the concordance. You'd be there a month. Yes, Dennis.
The flints of brass that came from Laban.
Yes. With the genealogy of